listening to the Key of Awesome Music podcast, brought to you by me, Jim Gavin. Key of Awesome Music was established back in 2011 as a way to further protect and promote the music that I wrote as a solo artist, as well as some of the other bands that I was in the past. And that has since grown into representing 10 artists' music that have either gone under the radar or have not been noticed for one reason or another, and are just awesome, awesome musicians and storytellers through song. In the late winter and early spring of 2018, Key of Awesome Music was given the opportunity to further expand its horizons as well as further impact people in a positive way using music as a tool to do so. From one-on-one sessions on guitar, piano, bass, ukulele, percussion, and vocals, to group sessions at developmental and physically disabled day programs, to interactive live performances at nursing homes and assisted living facilities, we are fortunate and blessed to be able to provide a mission-based music service for people in a time of need. Right now, we are reaching out to drug and alcohol counseling centers, prisons, at-risk youth, homeless shelters, soup kitchens, mental health organizations, and anywhere else we can think of where coming in to do a music program would best serve and support the individuals that you serve and support. If this sounds like something you are interested in, please feel free to reach out to us at jim.gavin@gmail.com. That is jim.gaven@gmail.com. Also, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/keyofawesomemusic. That's facebook.com/keyofawesomemusic. We also have a Patreon page set up so that we can go into some of these places and not affect their bottom line. If you are looking to donate to a worthy cause or something a little different outside of the box and you're having trouble doing so, this would be a great opportunity to give back to the community and using music as a means to help people. Feel free to go to www.patreon.com/JimGavin. That's patreon.com/JimGaven. Thank you for all of the love and support. Trust me, it is greatly appreciated. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is Jim Gavin from the Key of Awesome Music, improving the quality of life through music.
Started talking on a fence front porch one summer night back in 93. But then again, I was 9 years old, and love was something that I didn't know too well. But what I felt shot right through my soul. Yeah, it was silver and gold. I know what I want. Somewhere in between, I know what I want. You know what you need. Every day seems better when you're the only one who's next to me. Yeah, you're next to me. Then one day, yeah, we just grew up. Said our goodbyes and we said good luck. I'll see you sometime, will you keep in touch? Reminisce about the days of old. Remember everything you told me, so I won't forget you when you just go. I know what I want. You know what you need. Anywhere we can find a place to meet somewhere in between. Yeah. in a crown when you wear yours. You're tight blue jeans, oh, I'm the king, you're the queen of this town. I make believe I'm in a crown when you wear yours. You're tight blue jeans. Yeah, you're tight blue jeans. Baby girl, yeah, you're oh so pretty. And I'm on my knees. I know what I want. You need anywhere we can find a place to meet somewhere in between. I know what I want. You know what you need. Everything seems better when you're the only one who's next to me.
Chapter 2, Saints of Music, Singing, and Peace. In order to give a well-rounded view of the power of music, especially as it pertains to singing and peace, here is some information on four saints that fit the bill. I cannot stress how important it is to have a person or multiple people to model yourself after in this realm. Peace first comes within, but to see it exemplified in other people provides an encouraging boost and inspiration to continue down the narrow path. Saint Cecilia, patron saint of music. Saint Cecilia is the patroness of musicians. She is frequently depicted playing a viola, a small organ, or other musical instrument. With this, Cecilia symbolizes the central role of music in the liturgy. Her feast day is celebrated on November 22nd, as this started in the 4th century. The day has become well known for concerts and music festivals, the first of which was held in her honor at Evreux in Normandy in 1570. The Accademia Nazionale di Santa Cecilia in Rome is one of the oldest musical institutions in the world. It was founded by the papal bull, Ratione Congruit, issued by Sixtus V in 1585. This invoked two saints prominent in Western musical history, Gregory the Great, after whom Gregorian chant is named, and Saint Cecilia. It has been documented that as the musicians played at her wedding, she sang in her heart to the Lord. When the time came for her marriage to be consummated, Cecilia told Valerian that watching over her was an angel of the Lord who would punish him if he sexually violated her, but would love him if he respected her virginity. When Valerian asked to see the angel, Cecilia replied that he could if he would go to the third milestone on the Via Appia and be baptized by Pope Urban I. After following Cecilia's advice, he saw the angel standing beside her, crowning her with a chaplet of roses and lilies. The martyrdom of Cecilia is said to have followed that of her husband Valerian and her brother at the hands of the prefect Tertius Ametius. The legend about Cecilia's death says that after being struck three times in the neck with a sword, she lived for 3 days and asked the Pope to convert her home into a church. She was buried in the catacomb of Calixtus and later transferred to the church of Santa Cecilia in Trastevere. In 1599, her body was found still incorrupt, seeming to be asleep. Saint Blaise, patron saint of throats and singing. catholic.org/saints/saint.php?saint_id=28. en.wikipedia.org/wiki/blessing_of_the_throats. Saint Blaise was the bishop of Sebastia and a doctor. The first known record of the saint's life comes from the medical writings of Aetius Amidinus, where he is recorded as helping with patients suffering from objects stuck in their throat. He's believed to have begun as healer, then eventually becoming a physician of souls. From all around, people came to him to find cures for their spirit and their body. Even wild animals came in hearse to receive his blessing and miraculous healings. In fact, there was a St. Blaise's well in Kent, and the water is believed to have medicinal properties. He is also revered and honored in Croatia, Iceland, and England in the UK. Here are a few accounts. In 316, the governor of Cappadocia and of Lesser Armenia, Agricola, arrested then-Bishop Blaise for being a Christian. On their way to the jail, a woman set her only son, who was choking to death in a fishbone, at his feet. Blaise cured the child, and though Agricola was amazed, he could not get Blaise to renounce his faith. Therefore, Agricola beat Blaise with a stick and tore at his flesh with iron combs before beheading him. In another tale, Blaise was being led to the prison in Sebastia. On the way came across a poor old woman whose pig had been stolen by a wolf. Blaze commanded the wolf return the pig, which it did, alive and uninjured, to the amazement of all. It's as if he knew how to speak the animal's language, and the animal obeyed 100%. In the Middle Ages, Blaze became quite popular, and his legend as a beast tamer spread. He was then referred to as the saint of the wild beast. He's often depicted holding two crossed candles in his hand or in a cave with wild animals. He's also often shown with steel combs. The similarity of the steel combs and the wool combs made a large contribution to St. Blaise's leadership as a patron saint of wool combers and the wool trade. The blessing of the throats was a sacramental of the Roman Catholic Church, celebrated on February 3rd, the feast day of St. Blaise. The order of the blessing of throats on the feast of St. Blaise is the Book of Blessings, or De Benedictionibus. Articles 1627 to 1626 and 1627 explains when and how the blessing takes place. Article 1626. The blessing of throats may be given by a priest, deacon, or a lay minister who follows the rites and prayers designated for a lay minister. If the blessing happens during Mass, it follows the homily and general intercessions, or it may take the place of the final blessing of the Mass. When the blessing is given outside of traditional Mass, it is preceded by a brief celebration of the Word of God. If the blessing is to be celebrated at morning prayer or evening prayer, it is given after the reading and homily before the Gospel Canticle. Article 1627. The blessing may be given by touching the throat of each person with two candles, blessed on the feast of the presentation of the Lord, which have been joined together in the form of a cross. The candles may be joined together by a red ribbon, the color of martyrdom. Although it is the general custom to touch the throat with the candles, it is not required, especially if the candles are lit. The candles may be held over or near the person. If all cannot be blessed individually, the celebrant without candles extends his hands over the assembly and says the prayer of blessing. Blessing. Through the intercession of St. Blaise, bishop and martyr, may God deliver you from every disease of the throat and from every other illness, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The priest or deacon makes the sign of the cross of the recipient as the blessing is said. If necessary, lay persons are permitted to give the blessing to the throats, but not allowed to make the sign of the cross. St. Oliver Plunkett, patron saint of peace. catholic.org/saints/saint.php?saint_id=372. en.wikipedia.org/wiki/Oliver/Plunkett. Scratch that. Oliver_Plunkett. St. Oliver Plunkett, November 1st, 1625 to July 1st, 1681, was the Catholic Archbishop of Armagh and Primate of all Ireland, who was the last victim of the Popish plot. He was beatified in 1920 and canonized in 1975, becoming the first new Irish saint for almost 700 years. He was admitted to the Irish College in Rome, ordained a priest in 1654, and deputed by the Irish bishops to act as their representative in Rome. Meanwhile, the Cromwellian conquest of Ireland from 1649 to 1653 had defeated the Catholic cause in Ireland. In the aftermath, the public practice of Catholicism was banned and Catholic clergy were executed. As a result, it was impossible for him to return to Ireland for many years. He petitioned to remain in Rome and in 1657 became a professor of theology. After several years of arriving back in Ireland, he tackled drunkenness among the clergy, writing, "Let us remove this defect from an Irish priest and he will be a saint." After the Test Act, in 1673, he went into hiding, traveling only in disguise to live in exile. For the next few years, he was largely left in peace since the Dublin government, except when put under pressure when the English government in London preferred to leave the Catholic bishops alone. Despite being on the run and with a price in his head, Plunkett refused to leave his flock. At some point before his final incarceration, he took refuge in a church that once stood in the townland of Killartry, in the parish of Cloggerhead in County Louth, 7 miles outside Drogheda. He was arrested in Dublin in December 1679 and imprisoned in Dublin Castle, where he gave absolution to the dying Talbot. He was tried at Dundalk for conspiring against the state by allegedly plotting to bring 20,000 French soldiers into the country and for levying a tax on his clergy to support 70,000 men for rebellion. Though this was unproven, some in government circles were worried about the possibility that a repetition of the Irish Rebellion of 1641 was being planned, and in any case, this was a convenient excuse for proceeding against Plunkett. The Duke of Ormond, aware that Lord Essex was using the crisis to undermine him, did not defend Plunkett in public. In private, however, he made clear his belief in Plunkett's innocence and his contempt for the informers against him. During his trials in London, Archbishop Plunkett had disputed the right of the court to try him in England, and he also drew attention to the criminal past of the witnesses and future Bishop of Salisbury, Gilbert Burnet, an eyewitness to the plot trials which these were referred to, had no doubt of innocence of Plunkett, whom he praised as a wise and sober man who wished only to live peacefully and attend to his congregation. Writing in the 19th century, Lord Campbell said of the judge, Pemberton, that the trial was a disgrace to himself and his country. More recently, the High Court judge, Sir James Comyn, called it a grave mistake, while Plunkett, by virtue of his office, was clearly guilty of promoting the Catholic faith and may possibly have had some dealings with the French, there was never the slightest evidence that he had conspired against the king's life. Archbishop Plunkett was found guilty of high treason in June of 1681 for promoting the Roman faith and was condemned to death. In passing judgment, the Chief Justice said, "You have done as much as you could do to dishonor God in this case, where the bottom of your treason was your setting up your false religion, than which there's not anything more displeasing to God or more pernicious to mankind in the world." The jury returned within 15 minutes with a guilty verdict, and Archbishop Plunkett replied, "Deo gratias," Latin for "thanks be to God." The king, normally the most self-controlled of men, turned in Essex in fury, saying, "His blood be on your head, you would have saved him, but you could have saved him, but would not. I would save him and dare not." Plunkett was hanged, drawn, and quartered at Tyburn on July 1, 1681, at 55 years old, the last Catholic martyr to die in England. In 1997, Plunkett was made a patron saint for peace and reconciliation in Ireland, adopted by the prayer group Campaigning for Peace in Ireland, St. Oliver Plunkett for Peace and Reconciliation. St. Elizabeth of Portugal, Peacemaker. catholic.org/saints/saint.php?saint_id=116. Elizabeth was a saint. Spanish princess who was married to King Denis of Portugal at the age of 12. She was very beautiful and lovable, and as well as a devout woman. However, the king believed a lie about Elizabeth in one of her pages by another page who was jealous of his companion. In great anger, the king ordered the one he believed guilty to be sent to a lime burner. The lime burner was commanded to throw into his furnace the first page who came. The good page set out obediently, not knowing death was waiting for him. On his way, he stopped for mass, since he had the habit of going daily. The first mass had begun, so he stayed for a second one. In the meantime, the king sent the wicked page to the lime burner to find out if the other had been killed. And so it was this page who was thrown into the furnace. When the king learned what had happened, he realized that God had saved the good page, punished the liar, and proved Queen Elizabeth to be innocent. She was a wonderful model of kindness towards the poor and a successful peacemaker between members of her own family and between nations. Saint Elizabeth was faithful at daily mass, she found strength to carry her many great crosses. Because her page was faithful at daily mass, he escaped death, at least for the time being. This is a great lesson in making it a habit to go to daily mass. What can we learn from these great saints of the Catholic Church? Can we apply any of their actions into our daily way of living? It may not be easy, but this life is not supposed to be. It's meant to be a struggle. You will experience suffering in some way, shape, or form. It is how we use our minds and experiences to navigate these treacherous waters which show us the right way to strive for peace of mind and heart. It is this reason for which I had to include these role models into this book. After all, the idea is to achieve world peace, and utilizing our voices in the ways of singing and speaking are pivotal to making this happen.
Sound
best of me. It was the air I breathed for way too long. Something had to give. It was the life I lived, and now it's gone. It's from my bed, wrap them around your chest, and I'll pull you close. We'll flip some channels to find out there's nothing on right now to ease your mind. Sit back, relax, there is no rush, no need to speed things up. All we have is time to think about the future, forget about the past. Time to figure out a way to make this moment last. To make this moment last. To make this moment last. The kind of love that we've been dreaming of. When we sleep at night, we'll get a little house to live and have a couple kids, and we'll sleep tight. Cause baby, all we really need are just a couple things to stay alive, and everything else in between, just trust my heart, you'll see. Slowly coming time to think about the future, forget about the past. Time to figure out a way to make this moment last. To make this moment last. To make this moment. Sunsets, I won't let you forget that I need you. Spring comes and spring goes, forever you will know that I love you. Sunrises, sunsets, I won't let you forget that I need you. Spring comes and spring goes, forever you will know that I love you.